Shalom. This is the 15th episode of our easy introduction to the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. We are in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav. We have seen until this point various descriptions of Nevuah, of prophecy, and the qualifications for prophecy. And now we're going to start off by seeing the differences between the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu and all other prophets. The Rambam starts off Halacha Vav. Again, we're in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. This is Halacha Vav, and the Rambam says as follows: Kol Dvarim Sharmanu Heim Derech Nevuah LeKol HaNevim HaRishon VeAchronim Chutz MiMoshe Rabbeinu Rabban SheKol HaNevim. So everything that we said until this point in the last episode about prophecy applies to all of the early prophets and all of the later prophets, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the sort of master teacher of all Nevi'im. Now the Rambam asks the question, what's the difference between the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu and all of the other prophets? So he says, Shekol ha-Nevi'im b'chalom o b'mare u'Moshe Rabbeinu misnave. Who er ve'omed shenamar uvo Moshe omoed l'daber ito v'shma hakol medaber elav. So he says as follows. He says that all the other Nevi'im had prophecy in a dream or a vision. Moshe Rabbeinu though prophesied, and he was standing, and he was awake, as the pasuk said that right, as the pasuk in Bamidbar. That Moshe, when he would come into the Ohel Moed, Hashem would speak to him, and he just heard the voice. Okay, so he says, "Malchufichach roim mashehim roim b'mashal b'chida Moshe Rabbeinu lo alidei malach." So they saw all their prophecy based on an angel, on a malach. That's what we saw earlier in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see it in a malach. Shenemar peh edaber bo. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem would speak face to face, mouth to mouth. V'neamar v'daber Hashem, diber Hashem o Moshe, panim o panim. And Moshe and Hashem spoke to each other face to face. Okay, so that's the those are the differences in terms of the description of how they spoke to each other. V'neamar tunas Hashem yabit. Kolomar she'in sham mashal roa hadavar alburio below chida below mashal who shatorah mida alav b'mara below bechidot she'no misnava bechida el b'mara shehu hadavar shehu roa hadavar alburio. Right, so the idea is that it says that Hashem almost showed Moshe an image. What does that mean? It means that there was no parable, right? But rather Moshe Rabbeinu saw the idea as clearly, without he didn't need a riddle, he didn't need a parable. And so the Torah testified about him that it was without riddles, without like a parable that Moshe was prophesized, right? But he just saw things, the message, clearly as it was meant to be. The Rambam goes on, and he says, Kol ha-Nevi'im yurim v'nivhalim u'mitgoyim u'Moshe Rabbeinu eino kein. Right? All the other prophets, right, so they would go through like this tremendous pain, and they would be awestruck, and right, they would have these like physical maladies. They'd be scared out of their minds during prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't like that. Who should cuss of Omer Kasher Yidaber Ish Oreu? Right, Moshe spoke just like as if he was speaking to one of his friends, not in terms of his attitude, but in terms of how the communication went. Right, there wasn't any fear. Kolomar kamosha ein adam nivha lishmoa divrei chavero. Just like a person wouldn't be terrified when he starts hearing the words of his friend. Kachaya koach v'daitel shel Moshe Rabbeinu l'havin divrei nevua. V'hu omed al amudo shalem. Kol ha-Nevi'im emes navim b'chol. Oh, sorry, so he says right, you wouldn't be scared to hear your friend. So Moshe Rabbeinu had the knowledge and he had the ability to understand the nevuah, and he was standing, right? Standing as a perfectly shalom person, right? So that was so that's the difference between him and the other Nevi'im. Kol ha-Nevi'im emes navim b'chol eis ish yirtzu. Right, the other Nevi'im, all the other Nevi'im, couldn't prophesize whenever they wanted. And Moshe Rabbeinu ain't a king. Moshe Rabbeinu was not like that. Kolzman sheyachvots ruach hakodesh levoshto, the nevuah shora olav. Okay, so and whenever Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to, he desired to speak to Hashem, so Ruach HaKodesh would sort of like enclose him, and the prophecy would manifest itself within him. Veno tzarech l'chavein daito, it was damein la. Right, he didn't have to like sit there and focus and meditate and concentrate and get to a certain state of mind. Right, so he was always in that state of mind. Shehare hu mechuvan mezuman ve'omed kemachei hasharis. He was always ready for this. He was always in a state of being that he could accept prophecy just like the angels. Lefichach misnave b'chois. Therefore, he would prophesize at all times. Shemar undu ve'eshma ma'itzav Hashem lachem. He says, like he would tell the people, stand here and wait and listen to what Hashem is going to command you. U'bazeh heftichu hakel. Right, and this God promised him that he would never have to worry about when Hashem would talk to him. Shemar lecha. And more lahem, shuvu lahem elokechem, elohechem, elohechem, v'ata po omedi madi. Right? So Hashem says, tell the people to wait here, and I'll talk to you, and then you'll tell them what I said. As all the other Nevi'im wouldn't know if at that moment when the people are asking the question, if they would get Nevuah. So they couldn't tell people to just wait there. Hashem tells Moshe, tell them to wait. Right, they should go back to their tents. You stand here, I'll tell you, and then you'll be able to tell them. Halamata shekol nevim kishenevua mister kelas mayam chozer mayam. Excuse me. So all this, excuse me again. This teaches you that all the other nevim would have to go back to their tents, and they would have to wait until the nevuah came to them. Right, so shehu tzarchei haguf kulam kisharam. Right, they had other bodily functions that they had to take care of. Right, lefichach ein parshin min shosehem. Right, therefore they also the other nevi'im didn't have to leave their wives because they could have times where they were ready for nevuah and times that they were could even be intimate with their wives. They didn't have to worry about having nevuah at any point. Right, but Moshe Rabbeinu lo chazar la'olo. Moshe Rabbeinu never went back to his tent. Right, his first tent. L'fichach pirish mina isha liolam. Since he was always ready for nevuah, he could never be in a state of intimacy with a woman, so he never went back to his wife. Mina dova lo v'nikshara daito atzura olamim. So it's as if his knowledge and his mindset was always kashur, was always connected to God. Right, v'lo nistalik me'alav hod liolam v'karen or panav v'niskanish kamachim. And therefore, that's why it says that his face always shined. Right, because just like the angels, because he was always ready for nevuah, so he could never lead a normal life like everybody else. Okay, so that's the difference between the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu and the prophecy of all other Nevi'im. Okay, so moving on here to Halacha Zayin, Perek Zayin of Hichos Yisodei Torah, Halacha Zayin. Hanavi Eshar Shetiyah Nevuaso La'atzmo Bilvad, L'Harchiv Libo, So there's a couple of reasons a person could have prophecy. So one of them, says the Rambam, the first reason a prophet could have prophecy is in order for him, the prophet, or her, for the prophet to expand their knowledge until they could understand something that they couldn't understand on their own. And these are obviously complex ideas. Right, so the Navi has a tough time, can't understand something most probably in a complex metaphysical idea that they're trying to understand about the universe or about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Nevuah allows them to, gives them an opening to understand something they didn't understand before. That's the first reason why a prophet could experience prophecy. Here's a second reason. Okay, so he says that the second reason is Hashem could send this prophet to a nation, right? Any nation, not just the Jewish people. Okay, or to a certain city, or to a certain kingdom, in order to tell them that what they're to either do something or to stop them from doing something evil. Okay, so, and then Hashem will give this prophet a sign in order that the people that he's going to talk to knows that he was really sent by God. Okay, v'lo kol ha'osa osa mofes ma'aminim lo. But just because somebody does some sort of like, a supernatural thing, doesn't mean you should believe that they're a prophet, right? Ela adam shehainu yodim bo mitchilaso shoroy lenevua b'chachmaso ma'isav shenesala v'hem al kol b'nei gilo v'hayim ha'alech b'darchei hanevua b'kdushaso p'yushusa v'achar kach ba v'osa osa mofes. V'amar shakel shachu mitzvah lishma mimenu shenamar I love tishmu. Okay, so just you should know that it's not every single person that does one of these supernatural things you should believe in. Rather, the person has to be known already that they could be worthy of nevuah. Right, they have to be incredibly smart. They have to be knowledgeable. Their actions have to have to manifest themselves and reflect that of a perfected person. Okay. And they have to walk in the ways of a Navi. They have to be kadosh. They have to be parish from the ways of the world, like we explained earlier in earlier episodes. And then, right, if they come along and do one of these tricks, then they could say that Hashem sent me, and he commanded me to tell you to listen to this thing. As it says, a love to Shmuel, you should listen to this Navi. So that's the second type of a Navi, okay? The Esha Shiasa Osu Mofes. Now, it is possible for somebody to do something, a metaphysical trick, and it turns out the person's not a Navi. This sign that he's doing has some sort of like, there's a trick, there's something false to it. Right? But even so, you're going to have a mitzvah to listen to him. Since he meets all the qualifications, So you can believe that he's a Navi. In other words, if somebody comes along and his actions aren't reflective of a Navi, he's not a big Talmid Chacham, and he's not a perfected individual. He has nothing that tells you that this person is anything unique. He's just a regular person. Even if he's a Talmid Chacham, but he's not the Gadol HaDor that is such a tzaddik. He's just a regular person. So then the person does some os, he does some sort of trick. And it doesn't mean that we're going to believe him that he's a Navi. Right? So because we say that well, you didn't do anything to show us that you were Roi for Nevuah, that you were worthy to be a Navi. But if somebody comes along and they lead their entire lives worthy to be a Navi, right? They're actually, they are Tzaddik and they are Talmid Chacham. And then all of a sudden they do some sort of trick. So then, then oath that shows that, look, I did something supernatural, then you would believe them. And that's somebody that you could believe, right? So now the Rambam says something in incredibly important, right? Why is it that we believe this person? Well, how do we know? We don't know. All he's done is a trick. So he says, the Rambam says, listen to this. This is so essential for understanding so many things in the Torah. Ma'amidim oso al cheskaso. Okay, we stand him on his chazaka, meaning that we in halacha we have a concept of chazaka that if certain things make sense, if certain things fit, then we say that's probably the reality, that's probably the truth. Do we know it's the truth? No, but this is the chazaka. This is how we establish something that could possibly be the truth, and that's what we go by. Right, that's the idea. So what's this similar to? Says the Rambam, "Kemoshnis davinu lach toches adin al pishnei edim ksherim." Right? So he says the same idea that we have a court case. How does a judge decide who's right? So if the person has two witnesses, right? Then we believe it. Then we say this is the truth. Two edim come, two witnesses come. Now, is it possible? Right? V'afal pisha esher sheheidu b'sheker. Right now, it's certainly possible that two witnesses concocted a story together, and they got their story so down pat that even with drisha mechakira, even with the cross examination that the Beis Din is going to do to them, they pass the test, and it seems like they are telling the truth, even though that's possible, right? So you could say, right, that's definitely possible. Ba'mamidim osam al kshirusam. We say that this is okay. We everything checks out for as best as we can know. We have two Edim. Their stories are true. So we're mamidim osam al kshirusam. This is what we believe, that this is their kasher. Right? Udvarm ha'elu chayotze v'hem nemar ha'nistras l'Hashem elokeinu v'niglos lanu v'aneinu. And this is what the pasuk is talking about when it says that the revealed things are for man, but the secrets are for God. Meaning what? We can't look into these Edim and know for sure they're telling the truth. We don't know. Right? So, v'nemar ki adam yira le'nehem v'Hashem yira le'vavav. Right? We don't know what's going on in a person's mind, what's going on in a person's heart. All we know is what we can see as individuals. So that's all we have, right? That's all we have going for us. So the Torah says, believe two Edim. If two Edim come along and tell us that we should believe them, so then we do. That's right, we believe the two Edim, even to the point of convicting somebody and executing somebody, even though, of course, we don't know for sure that they're telling the truth. That's just the reality. So the same thing is true when it comes to Nevuah. We don't know for sure if this person is a Navi, right? But if everything seems to check out that the person is a Navi, then we go along and say, okay, chances are this person is a Navi because everything fits. The guy's a tzaddik, he's a Talmid Chacham, he knows his stuff, he walks in the ways of a Navi, he's Purish from instinctual pleasures, he does exactly what a Navi is supposed to do to qualify for Nevuah, so we believe it. So it's a fascinating idea, this idea of Chazakah and reality. Now, the Torah doesn't tell us that we have to check and know 100% for certain that this is the truth, that this is the reality that we're seeing in front of us now. Because we don't know, we can't know that. We can't know that not with a Navi, we can't know that with witnesses. But the Torah says we're going to have certain standards, a metric, a rubric, to tell us that this is what qualifies as kosher Edim, and this is what qualifies as a kosher Navi. And if the person meets that standards and the situation meets that, that what we're seeing to be true, that's all we have. That's what we've got in front of us. So because of that, we know that the person is a real Navi, even though it is possible that the person is tricking us. Okay? So that is the these two halachos. Let's just review a little. We'll end a little early today because I don't want to start another halacha if we're not going to be able to finish it. So we'll simply say that we review the difference between the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was different than all other Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to go into some sort of trance and experience pain for his Nevuah. He could talk to God like panem al panem, pe al pe, right? Like face to face or mouth to mouth, just like he would talk to a friend. He wasn't terrified. He didn't go through any sort of shaking or debilitating injuries or anything of that nature, like the other Nevi'im did. And that was his Nevuah. That was different than all the other Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a parable. He was able to understand it exactly as it was said. All of the Nevi'im had to figure out what the message was. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get it clearly right away. That was the first. We said that Moshe Rabbeinu was like the Malachim. He was always ready for Nevuah. Right, and therefore he had to lead a different lifestyle than all the other Nevi'im. Right, all the other Nevi'im could be intimate with their wives. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't because he was always ready for Nevuah. So if you're always ready for Nevuah, you can't ever be in a situation where you're involving your instincts. So Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do that. The second halacha we saw, halacha Zayin, talked about why a Navi could have Nevuah. The first reason we saw that a Navi could have Nevuah was in order for them to understand for themselves, to understand something they might not have understood before. And the second reason they could have had Nevuah was to be sent to another one of the nations in order to tell them that they better, you know, shape up, they better stop doing bad actions or, you know, start doing something better. And how would these nations know if this Navi was telling the truth? So that's where we had this idea of Chazakah that we just discussed a minute and a half ago, that a person has to be roi for Nevuah. They have to be, and then they can do some sort of an oath, some sort of a supernatural trick, and then they'd be allowed to show that they are a Navi. Okay, we will stop here. That was episode 15.